Welcome to Season 2 of the EuroLeague Fantasy Challenge Podcast. I am your host, Frankie Sachs. You may remember me from last year. And this year, we've got so many new exciting things to talk about. The podcast, as you can see, has a new level of upgraded production. There's a couple rule changes. We even have a special private league for Fantasy Challenge Podcast listeners. But speaking of changes, Javi, you look a lot different.
That's because I'm not Javi. My name is Vasiliki Karamouza. I'm from Athens, Greece. I'm a sports journalist for 5 years now, and I currently work for Sport 24. But don't go yet. Don't leave us, because Javi's going to be here with us too. I'm not stepping into his toes, and I couldn't probably, because he's a legend of the game. He created the game and ran it for so many years. Unfortunately, he couldn't be with us in this first episode of season two, but he will be with us for the rest of the year.
And I understand you're a bit of a fantasy challenge expert, so you have plenty of advice to offer to all of our fans.
I've been playing for a couple of years now, even before I was a journalist, so may I have some tips for you guys.
Well, let's talk about what's new this season. First of all, as you can probably see on the screen now, there's the code to join our private fantasy league, and I encourage all the listeners to join. There will be prizes at the end of the season to the best, and we'll give a shout out every week to the round winners of the private league. So don't miss joining out. But there's also some rule changes. Do you want to share your thoughts on tell us about the rule changes and share your thoughts on them?
Yeah, I will start with the one I like the most, and this is the four changes rule, meaning you can, after every round, you can alter four players instead of three players and the coach. But also you can do that as well as you prefer. But I think that's a good one, because if you have a coach you can trust for a couple of games in the row that their team's gonna win, maybe you can use an extra substitution for the players if something goes sideways and your plan is not working. So I really look forward to this one. What's your thoughts on this?
So I like this one a lot, and I think it's the one that users will figure out how valuable it is very, very soon. There's also in the game the concept of the two turns, or sometimes this is even three turns. And between game nights, on a normal week, let's say between the Thursday night and the Friday night, you can change your lineup and pull somebody out from Thursday who didn't play as well as you hope and put somebody in from Friday. While having the extra changes, if you have a coach that you believe in and you can run it, you don't have to change it. Now you have an extra player you can switch with, gives fantasy users a lot of opportunities to build their team, to think wisely about having a good balance of players from turn one and to turn two, and those occasional times where it's even three turns. It's just a more strategy, and I think it makes the game more interesting. The other rule change is the one that I like less.
Yeah, me too, but it's not, I dislike it, but it's not, I'm not used to it yet. And it has to do with a captain. For the previous year, you got twice the points of your captain. Now it's only 1.5, which means you're gonna get less points in total. But maybe that means you won't have so much dilemmas when you're thinking about who I'm gonna put as a captain. Because if the two players you were thinking are kind of similar, it's okay. But I don't know yet. I have to see it in action to tell you exactly how I feel about that. I like high scores, so maybe I won't like this one that much.
That's right. It will lower the scores to the best teams. When you have those big weeks, all of a sudden you're that captain who might have scored 40 and that was turning to 80, 88 with a win. All of a sudden that's 66, which is still a beautiful score, as we all know, but it's not quite that game-changing one when you hit the jackpot. But still, it'll bring the teams a little bit closer together. It'll make it a little bit more competitive, and you still have to hit right with the captain to have a great team. Before the matchups around one, let's talk about how the strategy based on the matchups that you built your team, or how I built my team. And I'll tell you, I won't be on my computer at all on Friday, so it changed my strategy altogether. And I went to having a strategy where I built my team around six players and a coach, an expensive head coach. And then the other four I spent less on my bench, because there's no way I would make a change. And you might see, as we speak later, my captain is someone from turn two, because I won't be changing my team and updating it between turn one and turn two.
I tried to have a bit of a balance between players that play on Thursday and players that play on Friday, so I can make a few substitutions. Got some players from my bench, put them on my main court for Friday if something doesn't go very well. for the games of the first round, I think there are a few quite good options. First of all, the first game of the season is the one between Alba and Panathinaikos. The reigning EuroLeague champs go back to the crime scene. They're playing in Uber Arena for the first game, which is a good way to start the season, I'd say. I also like the other Greek team game. Olympiacos is playing against Fenerbahce in Istanbul. It's going to be a tough matchup, but I think it would tell us a lot about how Coach Bartzokas and Coach Jaskevičius are planning to run their rotations at this point of the season. So maybe we could have some useful input after that.
Yeah, I also think the game between Baskonia and Partizan, those are two teams that we're looking at a lot of new players, especially in Partizan. It's almost completely new. And likewise, Maccabi against Asvel, another one with a lot of new players or players in different roles. Those are games where we'll see how much each of us is comfortable using players from those games at this point, but certainly one to keep an eye on and see who's maybe underpriced in players that you may want to have going forward. I know until right before we started recording, both you and I were looking at games from the weekend and trying to figure out rotations and matchups and how to make the most of it. And there could still be changes. Yeah, we have our lineups, but that's true to right now. Anything can happen before Thursday. And I tell any good user, you've got to double check your lineups a couple hours before the game, see who might be hurt, someone who might be sick, right? They ate something bad the night before and it changes everything. Occasionally someone gets hurt in warmups, all sorts of things. So you have to be on your toes to catch the right players. So let's start off with some budget options, whether they're on your final team or not. Who are the cheaper players that you really liked?
The cheaper players that I really like. Okay, I tried to find a few that are cheap, but are also expected to play, at least in most of the games, not every night, but they will have a contribution. Two, three options that stood out to me is the one is Panagiotis Kalaitzakis from Panathinaikos. He's the cheapest one I found for this category. He's only 4.8 credits. I think he's going to have nights that he plays and he can make a contribution with a steal because he plays defense, or he can make an assist. Maybe he's not going to score a lot, but here and there he will collect fantasy points. Another good option for this time of the season, I think, is Mats Strazel, because Mike James, unfortunately, is not playing yet. He hasn't played in the Friends League, so I don't know when he will play. Maybe he will play in the EuroLeague premiere, I don't know. But there's not a clear timetable, so I think Strazel is a good option for 6 credits. And the third one I picked up is Osmani from Efes. He's also getting minutes and he costs 5.6 credits.
So yeah, as far as Strazel, I think that's a great pickup at that price. Even if Mike James does play, and I think at this point he will try and play on opening night, he's not going to jump out to 35 minutes after playing so little in the preseason. So that opens the door for Strazel, who had an incredible Olympics and has looked very sharp in the preseason and so far in the French league. So I think that at 6 credits, he's a player on the rise who's worth having. Another player I really like for just 7 credits is Tamir Blatt of Maccabi Tel Aviv. Maccabi's gone through so many changes. He was the third or fourth guard, depending upon the situation last year with behind Wade Baldwin and Lorenzo Brown. Now they brought in Daryl Macon, who was injured and has left the team. So the whole backcourt they were planning has changed. And he had 12 assists the other night in the Israeli League or an Israeli Cup game. So I expect for 7 credits, he's somebody worth looking into. And another player at forward for just 7.3 credits is Malay Ndiaye of Asvel, who so far in their 2 French League games, he started one, he came off the bench the other, but he's gotten in the neighborhood of 20 minutes. He's been rebounding. Last year, he had a nice stretch in the EuroLeague also. Still a player on the rise. And if you're looking to fill out your roster at that price, he's a player I like a lot.
But how have you split your budget? You've put more money on the first 5-6 players and less money for the backup players? Or have you put like the new Javi rule, which is 8+2? 8 good players and 2 not playing so much.
So I didn't go quite that far, although I thought about doing it. But the problem was that when I looked at some of the big stars, I was always wondering that when I was worried if they didn't have a huge first night, a huge first game they could drop. And the whole thing is to try and get players and build more credit so that in a month, in 6 weeks, I have, you know, 105, 110 credits and I can really play around. So I really tried to stick to a balance of players who I'm comfortable with their opportunity and players who I think will see their value go up. So I have two big ticket players. One is Walter Tavares, who I did not have in my roster until last night when I saw he played 30 plus minutes for Real Madrid in their first game in the ACB because Serge Ibaka did not play because of a back issue. And if he didn't play, Real Madrid said he missed it because of a back issue. So if that's what they're saying, even if he does play, we're not going to see huge minutes from Ibaka. And Tavares is an absolute beast. He's a difference maker. So I put him in there. And Vezenkov, who we've spoken about privately before as an unstoppable force, I was nervous to take the most expensive player in the game at 16 credits. But given my situation, I just figured I'm going to have him, even though he's turned two, put him captain, and I don't have to change anything and worry. And the third relatively expensive player I took is Isaiah Cordinier from Virtus, who also had an incredible Olympics for Italy and has started off the Italian league well. He had a good game on Saturday, I believe. So for 10.3 credits, that's the type of player who I can see becoming a leading player for that team and someone who I wanted to get in on early. Boban Marjanovic, who the last time we saw him in the EuroLeague was a monster, put up record-setting numbers, and I'm curious to see what his role will be this year with Fenerbahce. He came late to training camp, but he's capable of being an absolute game changer, and I'm scared to have him round one, but he's somebody to keep an eye on who in a few weeks I expect might be a cornerstone of my team going forward. You didn't go the 8+2, did you?
Not exactly, but I have, at first I was thinking about buying a very expensive player as a guard, a forward, and a center. But then for reasons that I will explain later when we go through our teams thoroughly, I happened to choose a few players that between 7 and 10 credits as well. But it happened because, I don't know, I made a few changes last minute too, and we may do a bit more until the first game of the season. So make sure to follow us on Twitter. If we make last minute changes, we will let you know there. I chose Vezenkov for my team. Usually I go for, like usually, always I go for Mike James, but now I'm not sure his situation, if he's going to play. So that's why she's not on my roster. But she will definitely be later on. Mike, if you're seeing us, you will be on my team. I promise.
No, I think Mike can understand that everyone's nervous to take such a high-priced player coming off an injury, and sometimes the smart thing to do is to wait. Although, of course, if he blows up this week and has, you know, a 35 PIR, then it's going to be tough to get him in the future. Are there any players who are aside from Mike James, who we've mentioned, who are not on your roster, who you're really keeping an eye on for round one to see how they do, and players that you think that you'll have in a week or two?
I think the same is with Shane Larkin, because he's also not playing at this moment, but he will be a very, very good option for later on. Moneke, I wanted to also have in my team, but I couldn't overspend with two forwards, so I got with Vezenkov. Like Mirotic and Shields are also good options, but also expensive, so maybe some rotations afterwards. And you mentioned a problem with Real Madrid with Serge Ibaka. They also have a problem with Mario Hezonja because he was ill and he lost 5 to 7 kilos. So maybe a good option is Canan Musa or Gabriel Tech at this point.
But yeah, let's talk about our final teams, the 10 players who made the cut. Do you want to go first?
I have the support yet the center. He left from Real to get more minutes and he's going to have them in FS. I have Romain Tchorkin and Luka Barrow for the forwards. They are both playing a lot so far with Maccabi and Baskonia, and they weren't expensive, so they made my first team. Tamir Vlad, as you indicated beforehand, he had a great season last year and he's going to have another great season this year too. I'm really positive about that. I have a newcomer in the EuroLeague, Nena Dimitrijevic from Armani Milano. He was the MVP of the Italian Super Cup. He's going to play a major role for Armani. I'm pretty sure about that. So he's there. Mats Strazel, as I said before, because Mike James is not currently playing. Eliza Bryant, because St. Larkin is not currently playing and he gets a lot of minutes for FS2. I have Sasa Vezekov, of course, from Olympiakos. She was the 2023 MVP. He's playing great so far in the preseason, and I think he's going to be a major force this year. I have Panagiotis Kalentzakis from Panathinaikos. She's very cheap. He's going to be playing here and there, so he's a good selection for my bench. And I also have Andre Zizic from Virtus Bologna. He had a couple double-doubles during the preseason and almost a double-double in the first Italian game, so that's a good choice too. For my captain, for Thursday night, I have put Nena Dimitrijevic from Armani, but I will get Sasa Vezekov out of my bench for the second night, so he's probably gonna be my captain on Friday night, depending on how Dimitrijevic plays. If he has a PAR of 30, maybe I won't put Vezekov, but probably Vezekov is going to be my captain.
Obviously, I like your team a lot because, as you'll see, I have half of your players on my team. At center, I've already mentioned I have Tavares, and then for my backup center, who will not play in round one, is Kessens from Paris. At forward, I have Roman Sorkin, Vezekov, Nadai, who I mentioned before, and Kalitzakis. So three of the four, we have the same. And at guard, I have Cordinier and Blatt, as well as Strazel and Martin Hermansen of Alba Berlin, who was injured a bit last season. Last 2 years, he even didn't play so much. But so far, he's started off very strong in the German League, guy with a lot of experience. And for 7.9 credits, a player who I think could end up being a steal. And as I said before, because I won't be updating my roster between turns one and turn two, then Vezenkov will be my captain going straight out. The four players on my bench will be Strazel, Ndaye, Kalaitzakis, and Kessens. Everyone else is starting. And my head coach will be Ataman, who has the Panathinaikos, not only is defending champion and even got stronger, but they have a relatively, they don't play any of the really strong teams until round four. So that allows me to rest with him as my head coach for the first 3 weeks and have those extra changes going into the next two turns. Sorry, the next two rounds.
I have to admit, I also thought about getting Ataman, but he was too expensive, one of the most expensive one, over 10 credits. So I won't follow that strategy yet. I got Audet Katas because they are playing against Huntsville. I think if they can win for more than 10 points, we will get a high score from Katas, 20 points. So I thought I will go that and see a good matchup for next week, and we will see. He's not going to be on my bench next week, probably, because Maccabi is playing Monaco next. But for the first round, I have Katas.
Right. Just to explain to fans who may be new to the Fantasy Challenge, that you choose your head coach, and if that team loses, you get negative points, and if they win, you gain points. And the more they win by, more than 5, more than 10, more than 20, each time it goes up and you can earn more. I think the maximum is 25 points for your coach if they win by 20. So when you can find and predict the blowout and get it, that's 25 points from the coaching spot is huge.
Yeah, so I think we can wrap this up now and also remind the people to join our private league. You will be seeing the code on your screen right now. There are prizes involved, so don't miss out the opportunity to join. And see y'all next week.
Hopefully, Javi will be able to join us next week. But we will also be back here. And good luck with your teams in round one.
And see us on Twitter too for any last minute changes and for the private league as well.